argumentative. Sometimes people are pretty feisty when they're doing that. And I'd like to introduce you to an insistent, even bossy, Jesus. We meet him in the language used to open this text. The instruction Jesus gives the disciples is about getting into the boat, and it's neither a suggestion or an invitation. The writer of Matthew chooses the word that means to compel, to constrain, to force. The New American Standard Bible translates it plainly. He compelled them. The New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, softens it to made. Now, think about those words. You know, made, compelled. Talk about feeling a difference there. To compel, to force, to make. Does that sound a little softer, a little gentler? But those were not Matthew's words. He put them in the boat. It carries the weight of compulsion rather than an invitation. He didn't give them a choice. He put them in that boat the way a teacher puts a test on your desk. You did not ask for it. You may not be ready for it, but it's here, and you are going to take it. Now, the announcement of a test is often the catalyst that opens us to a deeper kind of learning, probably because it compels us to start preparing for that test by studying the material that might be on that test. It's a thing that makes us go back to what we skipped, to sit down with what we avoided and reckon with what we thought we already understood. Jesus has been teaching these disciples for several chapters, length of time. They had heard the Sermon on the Mount. They have watched healings. They have just participated in the feeding of more than 5,000. They had been in the classroom of faith. And now it's time for the test in the form of a storm. Now think about how Matthew describes it. In verse 24, says the boat was tormented by the waves. Now our English Bibles may say battered or tossed, but the Greek is far more violent. The word used elsewhere in Matthew for this is demonic torment. So, you know, it's torment, but it's demonic torment. This is not just rough weather. This is the kind of experience that exhausts every resource you have brought with you. The disciples' arms are spent. Their strategies have failed. Every skill they have for managing a boat in a storm has been used up. This test has left them defeated and in despair. And this is precisely when Jesus shows up. Jesus appears on the water at the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 in the morning. In their exhaustion, the disciples don't recognize him. But Jesus speaks, "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." And we should note the absolute form. Jesus does not say, "Ego imai," followed by a predicate. He does not say, "I am the bread." He does not say, "I am the way." He says the bare, unfinished, unqualified, "I am," the name that needs no completion because it contains everything. He is the one who walked on the waters of creation, the one who rules the surging sea, the one who is present before the foundation of the world, the one who can help them finish this test. But Peter seems intent on testing the one who tests him. "If it is you," he says, as if to say, "if you really are the I am, show me how I can not only pass this test, but can earn extra credit by walking on the water with you." Everyone reading this already knows the outcome. Peter sinks, and in his sinking, he learns the lesson the test was designed to teach. The lesson is not try harder. The lesson is not keep your eyes on Jesus, as though faith were primarily a matter of improved focus. The lesson is three words: Lord, save me. You know, I've spent years asking communities of faith a version of this question: what is the lesson that has most shaped who you are? The one that lives in your body, that changed how you move through the world? And I ask people to think of their answer, not to speak it out loud. And then I ask whether they learned that lesson in a time of ease. And no matter the group, communities of faith, seminarians, executives, seasoned pastors, college students, high school students, no more than 5% of the room has ever learned a formative lesson when everything was going well. We learn the lessons that live in crucible moments, in the fourth watch, during the test. This is exactly what Jesus was doing when he compelled the disciples into the boat. He knew that the confession they needed to make, the one that would ground them through and through in everything that was becoming, could only be born in the heat of a test, in the belly of a storm. When Jesus and Peter return to the boat, the wind stops, and the disciples fall down and say something they have never said before in Matthew's gospel: "Truly, you are the Son of God." This phrase appears only once more in Matthew's gospel. It's spoken by the centurion at the foot of the cross. The storm on the sea and the cross on the hill are linked by the same confession, born from the same kind of test. The disciples did not arrive at this confession through study, and they didn't arrive at it through lecture or parable or even through watching miracles. They arrived at it because Jesus compelled them into a boat, sent them into a storm, let them struggle through the night, and revealed himself as the answer to the test: "I am who saves." So when the test lands on your desk, and it will, remember who put it there: the insistent, even bossy Jesus who compelled the disciples into the boat is the same Jesus who shows up at the fourth watch when every resource is spent and the only answer left is three words long. The storm is the test. The test is the teacher. And the lesson learned in the belly of a storm is the lesson that lives and holds you through the next test and the next. It's the lesson that drops you to your knees and fills your heart with a post-test confession: "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thanks be to God. Amen.